Now, we've talked about small groups as being reflecting the entire church, but I also want to mention some of the literature about small groups. And typically, when you read books about small group, it's really about the small group that gives spiritual care and nurture. But the principles in starting up these small groups really apply to every small group you set up. According to Ben Reed in Starting Small, the Ultimate Small Group Blueprint, he talks about launching small groups. And we're going to go through some of his literature just for your knowledge and encouragement. And again, you can apply this to many, many approaches, many things within your group. But his book specifically is talking about like small care groups or life groups. So I'm going to give you his methodology just so you have a resource. Again, there's lots of resources in ebooks and on the web, free resources to get more insights. But I'll use Ben Reed's book as sort of our launching point, so to speak, about setting up small groups. So he says, launch a test group. Everyone wants to be part of something exclusive. They want to be on the cutting edge. If Apple called you right now and said, we're trying to figure out if this new product would work, would you be willing to give it a shot? And you can take that same approach for even a small group, whether it's a care group or any group, where you say, you know what, let's meet, you know, let's just test out talking about financial issues. Now, again, it's not setting up a permanent group yet. It's just a test group. And this way, after the expiration of the test group, you can sort of see who's on that group and who's not on that group. Testing and church planting go well together. On the creative side, test groups help an organization know what works and what doesn't, or in this case, who works, who doesn't work. They allow an organization to try new things in new ways with new people without the cost of a full product launch. Launching a new line of products drains a lot of resources, and it's incredibly risky. Test groups minimize the risk by help determine in advance what will work and what will fail. Now, you can take this approach and apply it to the entire small group system, or you can specifically do it in like a care group. And here's how you do it in the care group. You can say, okay, we're going to meet in a small group to talk about this topic, and then the topic ends. And then you see what the connections are, if that can be a small group that's permanent or long-term. What does a test group look like? A small group of high-capacity, influential leaders who meet for a predetermined time for the purpose of exploring a new idea to implement. Let's break down the definition even farther. In this group, you're modeling what a healthy small group, according to your strategic mission and vision, looks like. The point is to simply cast an informational vision. It gives people a picture of a healthy small group. Okay, so let's say you're going to launch an entire small group program in your church. So you recruit leaders that you think are going to be the small group leaders. So you do a test group that simulates what their groups are going to look like. So in a sense, here's a test group that you talk about the dynamics of small group ministry. Now, before you launch a program, you're in this context. Now, if someone doesn't work well in that test group, you will know that they might not be a small group leader. So you can even say, hey, come for a test group, take a test drive of being a small group leader in a term small group that's going to talk about leading small groups within the church. So it's launching a test group small group. Now, in starting small groups, you're looking for those high-capacity, influential leaders. Don't just recruit warm bodies. Recruit the people who are natural leaders, people who, if they buy in on the idea of your small group, lots more will too. These people have natural leadership abilities. They have followers. They may or may not be a significant leadership in your church, but you know they're leaders because wherever they go, others want to be around them. So if you start a small group program, and again, I apply this to any program, sort of do testing small groups here and there, which really helps you know whether or not they're going to work. A predetermined time. The test groups shouldn't last forever, Ben Reed writes. After all, the goal is to equip these folks and turn them loose. Don't keep them here in your holding tank forever. Making your way through one or two rounds of curriculum should be adequate. Or if you choose not to use curriculum, a couple of months should be long enough. Make sure you end at a time where it's strategic to launch new groups so that your test group can step right into group leadership. Now, I say this can be done with any groups you make within a church, but let's apply this to where Ben is applying it. That's care groups. So you have, let's say you're going to launch a small group ministry in the fall, or after you start the church, you're going to launch a small group ministry. First have a test group. Let's say the test group meets from May throughout the summer. Now, the goal of this is to launch right into the small groups where this test group become the leaders of small groups. So it's a predetermined time. Implement. Let them go. If you got, let's say, four couples in your group, then you should plan to launch four small groups. If you have five couples and a single person, then launch six groups. Use a one-to-one ratio. Use a two-to-one ratio with co-leaders. Don't let these guys off the hook. They get the idea and strategy you're implementing better than anyone in the church. You need them to lead. So as this group forms that launch group, really let them know they're the epic leaders. They're the operatives that are going to really make care throughout the church. But the same can be applied for other groups as well. Whenever you're going to launch something, first launch it with a little test organization group that may conclude, and people may not want to be in the full-blown ministry of whatever you implement. Start promotional conversations. Start dropping hints. Begin telling people that you're going to start a new small group. And presume upon God's favor to do something huge in it and through the group. Let them know that you're honored and excited for them to join once things get started. And you drop these hints, you'll give them a chance to clear their schedule. Again, this is just all promotion. Just start planting seeds of something. Even when there's a test group going on, you can start planting seeds that new groups are going to be forming. Start recruiting. Take the steps beyond hints. Recruit people to join even before you launch. Get commitments from group members. Get commitments from a co-leader too, someone who will help lead the group with you. So after the test group, then people are starting to get out there and they're starting to recruit who their groups are going to be. Now, I like the concept of recruiting. So after the test group, now go back to starting a small group movement in your church. So you have your test group of the leaders. Okay. So now the leaders are finishing that test group. And now at some point you say to them, hey, start a small group and get them going on word of mouth. Get them going on recruiting. One of the things I call is death by bulletin. A lot of churches or small groups of start, but they'll put, if you're interested in this, here's in the bulletin, call this number. That's fine. But if you really want something to go, get the leaders out there recruiting, and even recruiting from people that may not be going to their church right now. Lead with curriculum choices. Pick out a handful of curriculum choices. Although you know a small group is much more than curriculum, potential group members want to know that there's some sort of plan and structure in place, that this group won't just be a dinner club, but they'll have a components of studying together. And you know, and that would be something, again, start that in the test group, but when you start launching it in recruiting of leaders, where these test group leaders get out, make sure they have a plan. What are they going to be talking about? There's a goal in mind. So when they talk word of mouth and recruit, people know what is going to be going on. Starting. So plan a start date. In the United States, most strategic times to launch a group tend to be in the month of August and January. August works because many public school systems start during this month. And our curriculum tends to think of new and start then. We also tend to think about resolutions for the new year beginning in the month of January as our calendar year turns over. There are other times a group could start, but these tend to be the most strategic. Now, specifically in care groups and life groups, this is so true. But in any task group or any small group throughout the church, you can do a test group anytime. The test group could just be you and the other person. That could be the group of two, the pastor, the church planter, and another person where you're testing out something. Or it could be three people. This could be something like the finance committee, for instance. You get three or four people. You do a little test group. Maybe the test group is an audit. Hey, we're going to do an audit of our church. Will you join that? See how that group goes. The group ends. If the group goes very well, you might want to talk about someone who might want to do more long-term connections with the financials of the church because you can see they're tested in who they are. Remember to have constant recruitment going on. You are constantly recruiting. It's hard to overemphasize the importance of recruiting leaders. Get the right people. Small groups can soar. Get the wrong ones and you taint small groups for every member joining those groups. You'll be fighting an uphill battle moving forward, trying to convince people that their next experience will be better than the last. So remember to constantly, as a church planter, always be thinking about recruiting, whether it's in the task small groups of your church, whether it's the standing small groups, and which you formerly recall church committees, whether it is small group life groups, constantly be recruiting. Intentional apprenticing. This is kind of a way of to create leaders out of that your small groups movement. Intentional apprenticing is a great way to recruit and deploy leaders. The beautiful part is that apprentices will have the on-the-job training for months, even years, before they are turned loose. If you want to speed it up a bit, do one or two things. First, increase the number of apprentices in each group. And second, decrease the incubation time if you are comfortable with apprentices starting sooner. So in life groups, you have a leader and teach them to always be looking for new leaders. Now let's talk about elders. Elders are a small group. Think of it that way too. You know, it's even possible to have your elder group and then identifying someone who you believe could be an elder. So what you do is you say, okay, Bob, would you come to our elders meeting? You have a few gifts that we think could potentially be connecting to elder leadership. But before we go through this whole process of appointing, we want you to come to some meetings and interact, and we want you to see what it is and answer any questions. Maybe we want you to take a Christian Leaders Institute, the Getting Started class, or other resources for elder training. Notice what you're doing is you're taking a proactivity to the small group of your elders. So always think, whatever group it's in, about the intentional apprenticing. Recruit with existing groups that are ending. Look to the end. Whenever a group is getting ready to end, our group meets for 12 to 24 months, and this author says, I sit down with the leader and ask the names of other potential leaders. As people have done life together for a while, they've heard each other's stories. They've invested in the group. I explain to them through training, emails, personal conversations, what it takes to lead a group. Because they've built those relationships, they feel more comfortable recommending people for leading a group. And again, this applies to every small group understanding of the church in general. You're working with your leaders. The dynamics of small groups apply to the complete development of new church planting. Recruiting those who can't. There's not a group that works for me. Every time new groups start, I get this response. There's no group that meets during the two and a half hours of free time they have in their life each week. That also meets in their neighborhood, but also studying what they want to study. All the other groups meet too frequently, or not frequently enough. Here's what I often say, I'm sorry, would you like to start a new group? It can meet when and where you want it to meet. A lot of times as a church planter, you're going to see that. You offer things and people have excuses. And a lot of times I will find out what their gift is and say, okay, well, do you want to do that and when can you do it? And it might be a life group or it might be something else. It might be something simple like, you know what, I really love art. Oh, you do? Can you start a little art small group at our church? Where people can talk about putting pictures up and banners and stuff like that. And a lot of times that person who says no to everything, if you find where their passion is, they'll start a small group. It might not be a life group, but they'll start a small group. many times life groups can be started this way when you know someone has that pastoral gifts and they're really ripe and ready to lead a group, and they got to lead a group. I often find that people that are in groups that get sort of grumpy, they might be ready to lead a group, but nobody has really helped them become a leader yet. New groups for new people. In with the new. Start. New groups, new people. Launch a men's breakfast group. Start a construction group. Start a women's book club. Kick off a group that meets for Sunday lunch. Remember, if you've defined your win, first it's easier to step out and launch groups like this. Starting these new types of groups in a way to get new leaders, it stretches and challenges people who think they just don't fit in your system. This is what I was talking about before, is if people don't get into the life group things, fine. There's many groups that they can get into and help them find their place. Team staff members. There's a requirement at our church that staff members be in a group. Now, this is that life group, that pastoral care group. But honestly, many of our staff members lead their group. Church staffers have influence with others. They're recruiting leaders for their ministry or teaching from stage or leading worship. If they're leading a group, that's good. There's a good chance that they can fill it up without your help. And it will be filled with people who have bought into the character and reputation of that staff member. So what they're saying here, what Ben Reed is saying is, hey, look, what you're interested in is everybody is on board for not just being in a group, but possibly starting a group, especially if they're staff members. Give breaks. I give leaders the option, and make them no guilt or shame about this option, to take a season off from leading a small group. Would I like it for them to continue leading? Absolutely. Would it be easier on me if they continued leading? Absolutely. But in the long run, they end up frustrated and burned out because they've never had a break. You know, I can't stress this enough. When you're planting a church, give breaks. You know, a lot of times when you have a leader small group, an elder small group, these elders stay on permanently. And you know what happens if they stay on too permanently? They get grumpy. They start getting critical. They think that they own things too much, and then they start looking at you as a leader. So even in those small groups, give people a break from that leadership, or if they're leading a small group, give them a break. They may still want to be in a small group, and you want to encourage that, but the responsibility of leadership is something that you need a break from every now and then, a sabbatical, so to speak. Short-term groups. Once or twice or every year, start a new short-term focused small group that leads out with studying the same thing. Most of the time, it makes sense to line up this with sermon series. Why does this ultra-focused short-term small group experience help with recruiting leaders? First, it gives people a more manageable timetable for leading. It is much easier to sell. You only have to lead this group for 4 to 6 weeks. This is, again, a short-term definition of the life group ministries, okay, and Bob Reed, or Ben Reed, puts this in place. Now, here's what I think about that. This is a great idea. If it's possible, these form little test groups, and you're wanting these little test groups to form because you can identify new leaders. So short-term groups are very good, connected around a sermon series, and you can sort of develop small group leaders. As you develop small groups, just always be thinking of creating stages, recruiting. Sometimes they're short-term. You do a little testing here. In general, you want people to be tested. So these testing groups are really important. Apply it to every part of the church as you develop small groups. And what you'll find is you'll eventually, over time, develop competent, high-quality leaders to work with you in the trenches to proclaim Christ to your community.